Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sota Daf Lamed Tes. We are holding on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis. We are at the second wide line on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Leila Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha Lea Shalom, and also sponsored in honor of the yard site of Toba Bas Ephraim, Toby Snita, by her family, the Neshama Shav Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to do today is we're going to discuss who is included in Birchas Kohanim. Yesterday we started the Birchas Kohanim Sugya, so we're going to talk about where do people need to be located in order to be included in the Birchas Kohanim. Can they be standing behind the Kohanim, to the side of the Kohanim? If they're the Amisha Besados, the Gemara is going to discuss what do you do if you have a tzibur that's made up entirely of Kohanim. How do you handle that? And the Gemara is going to perhaps distinguish between whether there are only 10 people in the tzibur or it's a larger tzibur that's made up entirely of Kohanim. Then the Gemara is going to talk about the Isser to speak when the Sefer Torah is open during Kriyas HaTorah. And the Gemara is going to tell us also the secret to Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua's longevity, because one of his secrets had something to do with the fact that he was a Kohen and something related to Birchas Kohanim. And then the Gemara is going to go through the procedure of Birchas Kohanim, what tefillos are recited before and after Birchas Kohanim, the halachos of how the brachos are supposed to be done, and how one step has to follow the next step, and you have to wait until the previous step is finished before you move on. The Gemara is going to then go into a little bit of the halachos of Kriyas HaTorah, those halachos of Kriyas HaTorah that are similar to Birchas Kohanim, and then we're going to have on base four statements of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, of Rabbi Tanchum and Rabbi Shua ben Levi about Kriyas HaTorah. So a number of halachos of Kriyas HaTorah on Amud Beis today, and then the Gemara at the end of the daf is going to talk about what the Tzibur says during Birchas Kohanim by Shachris, by Mincha on a Tainis, by Musaf on Shabbos, and by Ni'ilah on Yom HaKippurim, and that there's a different nusach that is said for each of those events, for each of those time periods, by the tzibur during Birchas Kohanim. So let's begin again. Amar Ada Amar Rabbi Simlai, second wide line on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis. So Amar Ada Rabbi Simlai, Beis HaKnesses Shekula Kohanim Kulan Ol Neduchan. If you have a Beis HaKnesses that's made up entirely of Kohanim, so they're all Ol Neduchan. They're all Mevarich Birchas Kohanim. So says where the Mim Mevarchin. So who did they give the bracha to? There's no one to be mekabel the bracha. So I'm Rebbe Zeir l'Achem Shabbosados. They're mevarich the Achem Shabbosados, the people who are busy doing melacha and are not able to come to shul to hear the Birchas Kohanim. Rav Moshe has an interesting ha'ara in his tshuva in Igros Moshe or Chaim Chelik Beisim Lamlalf. It's not really a tshuva lemaisa. It was a tshuva where someone just asked him a question in learning about Birchas Kohanim and about the idea that it's chal on the Am Shabbosados. He points out that it's mashma from the Gemara that those who receive the bracha need to be in this city, because why not just say the bracha is chal on Klal Yisrael? He doesn't say, the Gemara doesn't say that. It says the Am Shabbosados. So it sounds like it doesn't go beyond the city limits, that it's only the people in the city. Also, he says that it's mashma a little bit that when the Gemara says the Mevarich L'Achem Shabbosados, it means Dafka those who, had they not been onus, would have come to this shul in order to be misbarech. But they're included in the bracha. But perhaps if you have people who are, it certainly only includes, the Gemara is about to say, it certainly only includes those who are anusim. But the question is, what if they were onus, but they wouldn't have been here anyway? There are ten shuls in the town. They would have gone to the other shul. They're not even members of the shul. They go somewhere else. So if they would have gone to a different shul, are they included in the Birchas Kohanim in this shul? Rav Moshe says, sounds not. It sounds like that it's only the Am Shabbosados who are anus and who are living in the city, are anus and can't be here, but would otherwise be here. That's the only people that the Birchas Kohanim would be chal on. Nafkamina would be, what if there are no such people? And then you have a minyan that's made up entirely of Kohanim. So if there are no such people that fit all of that criteria, then you'd have a problem. How could you have such a case where there are no such people? I don't know, you have a family reunion. It's the Zaidi's 70th birthday party or something like that. And it's a family of Kohanim. So the whole family, he had only sons. So it's all the family of Kohanim. And they're all going to a hotel somewhere in the middle of nowhere. There's no other Jewish people. There's all the front people. You know, there may be Jewish people. No one that's going to come to the shul. No one that's going to come to their shul. They don't even have a shul. They just made a minyan. So maybe according to Moshe, you'd have to be very careful that there is an am that is present. That not all the Kohanim go up to Duchen in such a case. Okay, so says the Gemara. Any, is that really true? V'atani Abba Bredirav Minyam Barchia Am Sha'achore Kohanim Enim B'chal Bracha. Forget about the Am Shabbosadus. Anyone who's not standing in front of the Kohanim, anyone who's behind the Kohanim, is not included in the Bracha. So says Mar Lokasha, Hada Anisi, Hada Lo Anisi, that it all depends whether it was an Anus or not. That if a person was Anus, then couldn't be Etchul because he had to be working, so then the Birch's Kohanim is going to be Chal on him, even though he's in Am Shabbosadus. But if he's not an Anus and he's just in the Shul, and he decides that he's going to stand behind the Kohanim instead of in front of the Kohanim, then the Birch's Kohanim is not going to be chal on such a person. Rashi explains that those people who are on the Sadlus are considered anusim because they're osik b'malachtam. So when they're busy at work, they're not able to come. But those who are on the Beis HaKnesses, achorei Kohanim, are not anusim. It's just that they're showing that the brach is not chashuv enough for them to want to get out of their seats and to move to where they should be misparich, panim keneged panim, by the Kohanim. So you just lazy to move to better to a different location, then the bracha is not going to be chal on you. So says the Bach, if that's true, that the only reason the bracha is not chal on the people me'achorei kohanim is because the only motivation of them not being in front of the kohanim is their laziness. So says the Bach, in a place where the minig is that everybody buys their location in shul, and if you were to try to move to a different spot, you're throwing someone else out of a seat that they bought, that they and the shul is full, then einachirami, maybe the people who are achorei kohanim would also be included in the Birch's Kohanim. So Magen Avraham says, I don't buy it. Magen Avraham in some Kuf Chav Chesiv Gan Lam Vav says, what are you talking about? Every shul, there's a spot. How about all the spots that the Kohanim were previously taking up? Go to a Kohen seat. How about right by the Bima? There's always somewhere. You should go somewhere to be able to receive the Bracha properly. So ask the Gemara, V'atani Rav Simim B'Rasad Yishchuri Beis HaKnesh Shekulu Kohanim Miktsasan Olam Miktsasan Onin Amen. That we have another Brisa that tells us that if you have a Beis HaKnesh made up entirely of Kohanim, only some of them go and do Birch's Kohanim, while others answer Amen. So apparently they don't all go and do Birch's Kohanim. Says in Rolo Kasha, Hadi Shtayr Be'asara, Hadalo Shtayr Be'asara, that when it says in the Brisa that they don't all go to do Birch's Kohanim, that's when there are more than 10 Kohanim that are there. So some of them could go to the Duchen, and there'll still be other people that are there to answer Amen. So they don't all go up. But in a case where you only have exactly 10 Kohanim, so then if some of them go up, you're not going to have a minion of recipients of the bracha. Once you're not going to have a minion of the bracha recipients, then it doesn't matter. Then they might as well all go up and do Birch's Kohanim and rely that it's going to be chal on the Am Shebesados. The poskim point out, the Beis Yosef, the Magen Avraham, the Taz, that it's dafka that Kohanim are not chashuvim l'sbarich unless they're a minion. But if you have Yisraelim b'neihem, even if there's less than a minion of Yisraelim, then all the Kohanim present should be mevarich. They don't have to be makbid to leave a minion of people receiving the bracha. It's only when it's entirely kohanim that you need to be makbid to leave a minion of people receiving the bracha. How do we know this? Because the Torah points out in some kuf chav ches birchus kohanim ba'asara the kohanim min a minion. So what do you mean the kohanim min a minion? How could it be that if there's asara the kohanim min a minion, then there aren't 10 people receiving the bracha? Elamai, you don't need 10 people receiving the bracha. It's just that when it's a group of kohanim, you need 10 people receiving the bracha. So the Taz explains, because Kohanim are not really supposed to be the recipients. Kohanim are Mizbarich from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what we learned yesterday, that anyone who's Mivarich is Mizbarich, but they're Mivarich Liyam, and they're Mizbarich from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So they're not the recipients of the Bracha. They're not primed to be the recipients of the Bracha. The Yisraelim are meant to be the recipients of the Bracha, so they have a greater Koach on the receiving end. So they don't need a minion in order to receive, but if the Kohanim are going to receive, then they need to have a minion. Why dafka minion? So I was thinking, perhaps it's because whenever we have something, a group that represents the tzibur, that represents, that's it's not just about themselves, but it represents a kihila, represents a tzibur, represents klal yisrael, it's always a minion, right? Whenever you have a chovas tzibur, you always have a minion. Like by nichum aveilim that we do individual nichum aveilim when we go to a shiva house, but we also have nichum aveilim by the cemetery where in the shura where everyone lines up. So you only do that when you have a minion of people in the shura. Why only when you have a minion of people? Because that's representative of Klal Yisrael giving nechama to the Avelim, to that family. Whenever you have some people that are meant to represent Klal Yisrael, you need to have a minion. So maybe that's what the Kohanim are receiving the bracha as representatives of all the Amsha Besados and everybody else. And therefore, you need a minion for that. So Gufa, Tana Abba Breid Rav Binyamin Bar Chiya, Amsha Achari Kohanim Ein B'chal Bracha. The Amsha Achari Kohanim are not included in the bracha typically. So Sagmar Pshita, Ariki Bapi Gutsi Lomafsiki. Clearly, if you have some shorter people standing behind taller people, so the taller people are being mafsik between the Kohanim and the shorter people, that's not a problem. That's not considered a hafsik. They're just part of the crowd. You don't have to set up a shul where everyone sits in height order and they like a school picture where the shortest kids are in the front and the tallest kids are in the back. It's okay to have shorter people in the back. That's not a mafsik. Teva lo mafsika. Certainly the bima or the aro, any the aron kodesh is not going to be mafsik. Mechitza mai. The shayla is, what about a mechitza? Is that going to be mafsik between the Kohanim and those receiving the bracha? So Tashma, Dom Reb Shobel Nevi, Afilu Mechitza Shal Barzel, Eina Mafsek Es Ben Yisrael Avim Shem Bashmayim. No Mechitza is going to be mafsik between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no Mechitza that gets in the way. And therefore, even if you have a Mechitza between the Kohen and the Misbarech, it's nothing. The Mechitza does not prevent the bracha from being chal. What do you mean? Ein mafsik mafseka, ein mechitza shabar, afil mechitza shabar is not mafsik bein Yisrael avim shabashmaim. We're not talking about Yisrael avim shabashmaim. We're talking about Yisrael and the Kohanim. What does that do with avim shabashmaim? So what emerges from here and many other places is that the Kohanim are not the ones that are giving the bracha. They are the conduits for the Ribbono Shel Olam's bracha. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam that's giving the bracha through the Kohanim. That's why you could have a Kohen who's maybe someone that you don't think is worthy of giving brachos. It's not someone that you would want to get brachos from. And as long as you like the guy, as long as the tzibur doesn't hate him and he likes them, and it's done by Abba, so then there's nothing wrong with him doing birchas kohanim. Right? It doesn't have to be that the person is a tzaddik in order to give the bracha, because it's not his bracha. He's giving the bracha through that's the shayla about mechale shabbos b'faresia, whether they're allowed to be mevarich. So the only tzad to say no is that it's kovid of a tzara, because kovid of a tzara, that an ovid of a tzara can't be mevarich, but a person could be in violation of capital crimes of things that you're chayiv nisa for in the Torah, and he can still be mevarich because it's not his bracha; it's the Ribbono Shlom's bracha. The kohen is simply the conduit. It's also interesting that we use this lashon that afil mechitz shabarzel is not mafsik ben yisrael avim shabashmaim. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamed Beis says, "Miyom shecharav beis hamikdash nifsika chomas barzel ben yisrael avim shabashmaim." It dafki uses the same lashon that there is a mechitz shabarzel between Klal Yisrael and avim shabashmaim. So Tosus points out in Dibro Maskel Mechitza over here that it's two different inyan. That sometimes use the same lashon, but they mean different things. The Gemara over there is talking about that a tefillah is not as easily received nowadays as it was when we had a Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Shimon Levi is talking about physically standing outside of the Beis HaKnesses or behind the mechitza in the Beis HaKnesses. So it's actually about a physical mechitza in our Gemara. In the Gemara Misach Brachos, it's just describing how receptive to tefillah HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So it says Mar Yibayilu, study. Mahu. What if the people are not standing behind the Kohanim, but they're also not in front of the Kohanim, they're off to the sides of the Kohanim. So like most shuls are set up in such a way, like this shul, that there are tables and chairs on the sides of the Kohanim also. So the Kohanim are here being mevarich. What about the people? So the people in the first row, they're behind the Kohanim. They for sure are not included, so they would have to move. What about the people in the second row? They're directly to the sides of the Kohanim. So what's the halacha? So it's Tzadin Mahu. So Amar Abba Mar Barav Ashi Toshema. We could be poshet this from the din of Hazaz Efer Paraduma on Kalim that are Tame to a mace. The Tana and the Mishnah Maseches Parah tells us Niskavin Hazaz Lefanav, the Kohen who's sprinkling the Efer Parah intends to sprinkle on the kelim that are in front of him, and vihiza la'acharav, and he inadvertently sprinkles the efer para on the kelim that are behind him, or li'acharav vihiza lefanav, or he intended to be maza on the kelim that are behind him, and he inadvertently sprinkled it on the kelim that are in front of him, haza aso pesula, then the haza doesn't work, because he did the haza on that which he did not intend, and the cham derived from the pasuk in the Torah, that you need kavana to be mitayr. The pasuk pasuk says v'hiza hatar al hatame. It doesn't say v'hiza hatar a love on it, on the thing. No, it says al hatame. So it sounds like you have to have kavana dafka for it. That's the way Rashi understands that it's from the word al hatame. You have to have kavana dafka for it. That the diuk is from the fact that it doesn't say a love. It says al hatame. That's what the Rambam learns as well in Hilchos Paradum Parakira Lachazayin, that the mazah has to have kavana to be mazah on a tamei thing in order to be mitayir it. And if he's mazah shalom b'kavanas hazah also, then it's possible. The Ravid over there disagrees, and he says you don't have to have kavana to be mitayir it. You just have to have kavana that's the kli you want to hit. But it doesn't have to have kavana that this is what you're accomplishing. I mean, the way the Rambam and Rashi seem to understand is that it has to be ala tamei. You have to be thinking about the fact that it's tamei and about the fact that by doing this, I am being mitayir it. Whereas according to the Ravid, no, you just have to do that which is mitayrit, but you don't have to think about the fact that you're being mitayrit. You just have to intend to hit that kli. Why you think you're doing this? I don't know. Maybe someone just told you, here's what you do. This is what Jewish ritual requires, and you just do it, but you have no idea why you're doing it. According to the Ravid, as long as you intend to hit that kli, that would be good enough. Lefanav vihiza al tzadin shebefanav has a asuk sheira. But if you intend to hit the kelim in any kli that's in front of you, and you hit some of the kelim that are off to the sides, but a little bit in front of you and a little bit off to the side, that's a asuk sheira, because that's included in your kavana. You intended for all that's lefanav. And al tzadin shebefanav is also considered lefanav. Ooh, but the mashmaos is that if it's purely litzadin, it's not litzadin shebefanav, then that's not considered lefanav. That's not included in your kavana. So the same is true by birchas kohanim. Those who are bitzadim are considered to be machareim, and they're not included in the bracha. So if they're bitzadim, that's lefnehem. They are included in the bracha. But if they're not bitzadim lefnehem, then they're not included in the bracha. So now the Gemara switches to discuss a halacha relating to Kriyas HaTorah. The Achor wonder, what on earth? We're talking about Birchas Kohanim over here. These are clearly the primary sugyas about Birchas Kohanim. Why would we stop in the middle of Birchas Kohanim and start talking about Kriyas HaTorah? So the Keren Orah suggests it's a lot of times when this happens in Shas, you have to look at who the Baal Memras are and see if it's the same person that's talking in Inyanim of Birchas Kohanim that we're bringing just some other Memra that he says. And you'll notice that Rabbi Zeira Amar of Chista comes up in this discussion about Kriyas HaTorah, so probably it's just because it's Rabbi Zeira Amar Rav Chista that spoke about Birchas Kohanim, so we mentioned him in the context of Kriyas HaTorah as well. Other Acharim say, no, there's got to be some thematic link over here. So first of all, Gos Radal says, no, when they edited the Gemara, they misplaced this piece. It really belongs on Amud Beis, because Amud Beis, we're actually going to talk about Kriyas HaTorah. So somehow this piece, these couple of lines, snuck it away into Amud Al, if they really belong on Amud Beis. But the Netziv says that, no, it's coming to teach us that just like you're not allowed to be medaber b'shas kriyas haTorah, it's also medaber b'shas birchas kohanim, because that's going to be the halacha about kriyas haTorah that we learn, that you're not allowed to speak during kriyas haTorah. So just like you're not allowed to speak during kriyas haTorah, you're not allowed to speak during birchas kohanim. And Chasota says that it's brought over here because we said that the am that shachar kohanim are not b'chal bracha, because they're showing that the bracha is not chashuv enough for them to bother themselves to stand in front of the kohanim, and it's the same basis for the Yisra to be medaber b'shas kriyas haTorah. They are showing that the Torah is not chashuv to you, that your own conversation is more interesting than the kriyas haTorah. We have to be very interested in what the Torah has to say to us. So Amar Rava Bar Avuna, kibin sheniftach sefer Torah. Once the sefer Torah is opened, also the saper, you're not allowed to speak at all. Afilu b'dvar halacha, even if you're talking and learning, it's and usually you're not. But even if you're talking and learning, when the sefer Torah is open, you're not allowed to speak at all. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, ukefischo amdu al kalam ve'in amida elishtika. What does it mean? Amdu. Amdu means that the people were silent. It doesn't mean standing. Shenemar, how do I know it means shtika? Because when Elihu says to Eov, vochalti ki lo yidabru bi amdu velo Anu Ode, that what happened was in Sefer Eov, after we're told about all of the terrible Yisurin that Eov suffered, so his three friends come to be Menachem him, and after the whole conversation, all the three friends are quiet and they couldn't find anything to the Tainus that Eov was saying. Eov said, I don't understand why all this is happening to me. So Elihu ben Barach al Habuzi answers and he says, look, I wouldn't have been meis panim to speak in front of these Zakenim, in front of such chashuv people, but I see that they're quiet now, so I see that they have nothing left to say. So now I'll speak. And everyone tried to give Eov all these reasons, and all they tried to identify Averos that he must have done that caused all these Yisurin. At the end of the Sefer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's not what it was. He didn't do Averos that deserved all these Yisurin. Why did he deserve all these Yisurin? You're never going to know. It's not always because we do believe in Schar Va'onesh. We do believe that people suffer sometimes because of Averos, and that Averos do cause Yisurin, but it's not always because of Averos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a much more complicated calculus than we're able to be able to follow. So that's so he says when he describes Lo Yidabru ki amdu v'lo anu od. Amdu means that lo anu od, that they didn't say anything else. So you see from here. Then Amida means shtika, and if you have to be omed kipischa when they open the Sefer Torah. Now the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch Paskin kivan shehischil hakorei likros b'Sefer Torah asur l'saper. That as soon as the Balkori starts to read from the Torah, it's asur l'saper. So Magen Avraham disagrees. He says it doesn't say that in the Gemara. It says when they're poseach the Sefer Torah. When are you poseach the Sefer Torah? Before the Aliyah, right? Before the guy even says the bracha, he opens the Sefer Torah, identifies the place, leaves the Torah open. That's really what we're supposed to do. Leaves the Torah open, recites the bracha while looking away from the Torah, so as not to give the impression that the bracha is written in the Torah, and that entire time the Torah is open. So Magen Avraham says that the Shulchan Aruch is being imprecise when he says that it's only while he's being kurei. So the Bir Gra writes that the Rambam learns like Rashi that when it says a kopischo, it means when you begin to read from the Torah. So the niftach sefer Torah doesn't mean literally open; it means when you begin to read from the sefer Torah. But the Gra points out that the Yerushalmi and the Masechta Sofrim say a kopischo means like the Magen Avraham says when they actually open the Sefer Torah even before the bracha, a person is not allowed to speak. There's also an interesting discussion. The Mordechai writes that there are those that have a minhag that they stand by, or that have a chumrah that they stand b'shas kriyas haTorah, and they bring a raya from this very same pasuk. Ukipischo amdu kala'am, that when they open the Torah, amdu kala'am, everyone stands up. So you stand for kriyas haTorah. So the Mordechai says, but you see from our sugya that's not true. That amdu kala'am just means that they're quiet. It doesn't. Amdu means that they shut their mouths. It doesn't mean that they stand up. So in the Divrei Chamudos and Maseches Brachos, he's miyashev the machmirim that stand, and he says because the Gemara explains that Rabbi Zera, we're going to see in the next line, Rabbi Zera Amar of Chissa disagrees with Rava Barafuna, and he has a different makar for the idea that you're not allowed to speak during Kriyas HaTorah. So how does he understand the Kapisko Amdu Kala'am? It must be that he understands it literally, that you're supposed to stand for Kriyas HaTorah. The Taz writes that even if you say Amdu means a Lashon of Shtika, but Ein Mikriyos Emitei Pshuto, that in addition to a Lashon of Shtika, probably also means that you're supposed to stand. In Chuvas Ramami Panu, he says the fact that the Gemara even is able to darshan that Amida means Shtika, and it doesn't mean standing, which it normally means, is because there's another pasuk, Vaha'am Al Amdam, in Sefer Nehemiah, and from that pasuk we already derive that you need an Amida. So since there's another pasuk that tells me you need to be standing, that's what leaves this pasuk in our Gemara to darshan that you should be shosek. So those who are machmir to stand do have firm basis. They're not directly against this Gemara. La halacha, we pass, you don't really have to stand, but the halacha is whenever there's a davar shebekdusha, you're supposed to stand. And whenever an olah says, Baruch Hu Hashem HaMavorach, that's a davar shebekdusha. So that, I don't know what the heter is not to stand for that. That Ashkenazi minhag is we stand for Dvarim Shebekdusha. So the Chorah, we should be standing for that. Once you're standing for that, you can be bopping up and down the whole time. It's probably just easier to stand the whole time. So Rav Shechta told us, Dafka, when it came to standing for Kriyas HaTorah, that if you're ever in a shul and you notice that the rabbi doesn't stand for Kriyas HaTorah, then you shouldn't stand either. You shouldn't take chumras that the rabbi, the shul, it's not derech eretz. So in a public way to take such chumras. Okay, so Rabbi Zera Amar Rav Chista, Rabbi Zera says the name of Rav Chista, that the makor for the Isser to speak b'shas kriyas haTorah is mehacha va'ozne kala'am el sefer haTorah. The pasuk in Nechemiah says va'ozne kala'am el sefer haTorah. So they're listening to the sefer Torah. You can't be listening to the kriyas haTorah if you're also speaking at the same time. Back to Birch's Kohanim. Now, any Kohen that didn't do a Netilas Yadayim prior to Birchas Kohanim, lo yises kapov. He's not allowed to do Birchas Kohanim. Shenamar su yidechem kodesh uvarchu es Hashem. Question is, what if he washed his hands before davening and then he was very careful that he didn't touch anything and his hands remained clean? Does he still need another netilas yadayim? So that is a machlokas rishonim. Rashi writes that any kohen that's not notal yadav kodem lifnei alosu leduchan, which sounds like that it's not enough to wash your hands before davening. You need to do a second washing. Tosfos brings a raya that that's true, that it needs to be samuch lebracha, and that's what the Torah paskens as well. However, the Beis Yosef is medayik from the Rambam that as long as you are not al yad of shachris and you don't know of any tumah that they've encountered since then you don't need to wash your hands again. So that is the machlokas rishonim. Shalu talmid of Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, the talmid master Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, bameh erachta yamim. What did you do to be zocha to arichos yamim? It's always a funny question to think about. How do you know that he knows what he did to be zocha to arichos yamim? People think all sorts of things. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave him arichos yamim. Sometimes Ribbono Shel Olam blesses people at Arichas Yamim. Sometimes he doesn't. We know what it is. I had this diet. There are people that keep the best diets and keep the best health, which you should do and we're supposed to do. But they still die young. There's no answer. So I remember there used to be a comedian, George Burns. He tainted that he lived into his 90s because he smoked a cigar every single day. He's an idiot. What do you mean? That's not why you lived into your 90s. So obviously it's ridiculous. So people don't know necessarily. So the Sefer Hasidim says, however, that Sefer Hasidim writes that if you see a Talmud Chacham who's Maruch Yamim, you should know that he must be Mosif Dikdukim Al Chaveru, that it must be that he has more Dikdukim in Halacha, he has more Chumras that other people don't have, things that are not necessarily required by the Torah. So Sefer Hasidim says, what Dafka, when it's a Talmud Chacham, that as Arichus Yamim, you should ask him what his chumras are. You know, what his personal chumras are. Where did the Sefer Chassidim get that from? From all these conversations we find here in Masechus Sotah, Masechus Megillah, Masechus Tainus, they always ask, all these Talmid Chacham, b'meher rachta yamim. So obviously, they're they always come up with things. So obviously, they're saying what their personal chumras were. So b'meher rachta yamim. So Amar Lahen, so he said, I had three particular personal anhagos. Number one, miyamay lo asisi beis haknesses kapandaria. I never made a beis haknesses into a shortcut. Must be even in those situations where you're allowed to, that it was a derech mitchila, there are situations where you're allowed to make it into a shortcut. Number two, v'lo pasati al rashi am kodesh. When the talmidim were already sitting on the ground, they used to not sit on benches. The talmidim would sit on the ground. I didn't walk among them to look like a balgaiva that I'm walking over their heads. And number three, lo nasasi kapay b'lo bracha. Even though I'm a kohen and I never duchened without first reciting a birchas mitzvah. Of course, everyone raises the question. The rishonim asked the question. Neither does any Kohen you ever know was ever nasa kapa below bracha kohanim say birchas mitzvah before they do birchas kohanim. It's just part of the procedure. So the Ritva says, yes, enochinami, the bracha is a chova, but it has great skula to it, that someone who's mevarich, this bracha is mizbarich and will have arichus yamim. And that's the chiddush of Blazer ben Shemua, that among my chumras is something, it's not even a chumra, it's just such a skula for arichus yamim that you should be aware that alone is worthy of arichus yamim, even though it's not a chumra. Other Rishonim answer differently, that there's some sort of chumra associated with this, that it was extra tefilos that he said along with the brachos, or something like that. So my mevarich, what exactly is the bracha? That to be mevarich samu Yisrael ba'ava. So the Be'er Sheva says, where do we ever find that there's such a requirement to be mevarich ba'ava? But apparently there is. So they come up with answers of how you see from the emor lehem with an extra vav that it's got to be b'chol levavo, and there are mamari chazal about how the Brooks Kohanim should be done deliberately and slowly and not rushed through, because you want to show that you're really into it and you're excited about it. And the Magen Avraham quotes from the Zohar. It's almost like Gomer. We quote the Zohar. The Magen Avraham quotes from the Zohar that any Kohen that's Eino Oev Es Ha'am, or the Am is not Oev Him, should not be in Oseis Kapov. That if there's an issue between that Kohen and the people in the Shul, so then he shouldn't do Oseis Kapayim, because it has to be done Ba'ava, says the Zohar. Ki Akar Kare Mai Amar, when the Kohen moves his feet to go toward the Duchan, what should he say? That there should be no michshol or avon in this bracha. The Achronim wonder, what do you think is going to happen, right? What sort of michshol va'avon is he referring to? Is he nervous about that might happen? So in the Sefer Milcha Chareva, he says, based on what Chazal Darsh discussion that Yivarecha Hashem is b'mamam, that the part of the bracha is that you're blessing people that they should have material wealth. There's plenty of mikshal va'avon that could come from material wealth. So he's davening that these brachas should be something that are only a source of bracha, even though sometimes these kinds of brachas also leads a person to all sorts of mikshalos and all sorts of averos. Or alternatively, the Zohar that we just quoted, the Magen Avraham quotes, that a Kohen who doesn't love the people and the people don't love him is not allowed to be Noseas Kapov. So he's davening that that this bracha shouldn't have any mikshel va'avon, that there should be no sinna, that there should be only love between him and the people. Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in his Siddur that the mikshel means that they shouldn't stumble in the words, that they should say the words fluently, because a lot of times in the tefillah, the Gemara says that if a person is stumbling in the words, it's a bad omen. It means that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want that tefillah to come out properly. So they're saying that this bracha should come out properly and should have its desired impact. After the Kohen finishes the bracha and he turns away from the tzibur, what does he say? So Rav Chisa Rav Ukva v'darash, that Rav Chisa encouraged Rav Ukva to say the following nosach. Ribono Shalom, asinu mashe gezarta aleinu. We have done what you were gozer on us to do. Asei imanu mashe v'tachtanu. Now give us the bracha that you said you're going to give us, because kol mevarech misbarech. So now we deserve that bracha. Shkifa mimon kachcha min hashemayim, and the pasuk continues, mevarech es amcha es Yisrael, that you should be mevarech your nation, you should be mevarech Klal Yisrael. So Amar Rav Chisda, in Kohanim Roshan Lachuv Kishrei Etzpa Oseihen, Ashi Yachsu Kneim in HaTzibur. Kohanim can't fold up their hands again until they turn away from the Tzibur. Amar Rav Zeira, meaning they stay in position. Doesn't just mean their fingers, it means their entire arms. They stay in position until they turn away from the Tzibur, and then they get out of the position of Birchas Kohanim. Amar, to show that they're not eager to stop being Mevarech Klal Yisrael. Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Chisda, in HaKori Rashi Likros Kohanim ad shichla amen mipi hatzibur. Only once the tzibur answers amen ta'atov shem chaluchan elahodos can the korei say the word kohanim to call up the kohanim, because we have a principle that trei koli lo mishtame, that you can't hear two voices at the same time. It's a maseches brachos that the gemara says that ein abotzer rashi levtzava ad shichla amen mipi onim, and Rav Chisda says that you don't have to wait till everyone says the amen. When it comes to Betzias HaPas, you can just wait till the majority do, because anyone who's being Marech B'Amein is doing wrong anyway. So you can just wait till most people answer Amen, and then you could be Botzea the Pas. So Tosos writes that when it comes to Birchas Kohanim, you have to wait till everyone answers Amen, because over here it's not just about the Derech Eretz of waiting till the person finishes, till you move on to the next step, meaning you don't have to have Derech Eretz for the guy that's doing it wrong and that's answering along Amen. But over here it's about Trei Kali La Mishtame, so you have to wait till there are no more voices in the room. Aye, the Gemara Megillah Daf Chaf Aleph says that when it's a Davar Chaviv, then Trei Kali Ar Mishtami, and isn't this a davar chaviv to receive the bracha from the kohanim? So Tosos deals with that question, and Tosos says that the fact that we say a davar chaviv is heard when they're trei kolos, that's only if both of them are saying the same thing. Two kohanim that are mevarich brachas kohanim together, but when one of them is saying one thing and the other one is saying something else, so one of them is saying an amen and one of them is saying kohanim, so then they're saying different things and you're not able to hear both things. Or alternatively, even though each one is saying something else, maybe you can hear two separate things when it's a davar chaviv, but the kohen is not able to be shomea what the other guy is saying, and therefore, meaning a third party might be able to hear two people who are each speaking at the same time, but each one is not able to hear the other one. The one guy who's speaking is not going to be able to hear somebody else at that same time. So that's trei kali lo mishtami. Anyway, so in a kohanim rishon lahaskel bevracha, continuing in the procedure, the kohanim cannot start their bracha. V'asher kishon b'dushas shalom tzivar v'lach sami sol be'ava ad sheyich ledibor mipi akorei. Until the Kohen finishes calling Kohanim, Ein Tzibur Roshon Lanus Amein. Ve'Ein Tzibur Roshon Lanus Amein. The Tzibur is not allowed to answer Amein to the bracha of the Kohanim. Atch Tichle Bracha Mipia Kohanim. Until the Kohanim finish the bracha, Ve'Ein Kohanim Roshon LaHaskel BeBracha Cheres. And the Kohanim cannot start the bracha, let's say, of Yivarechcha, Atch Yichle Amein Mipia Tzibur. Until the Tzibur finishes their Amein. Beis Yosef says, wait a second. There's something else that happens in between. Before the Kohanim say Yivarechcha, after the tzibur says their amen, the chazan says yivarechecha. So we're skipping a step over here. He says the kohanim don't say anything until the shliach tzibur is makri them. So what do we mean over here that they until the amen is said by the tzibur, the kohanim are not allowed to say the yivarecha? So he says according to the Rambam's shita in Hilchos Tefillah Perek Yudalid is that the shliach tzibur is not makra the first word of yivarechecha, because the only reason you need shliach tzibur to be makra is so that they don't get confused. They know which word they're up to at the very beginning. You know which word you're up to. Right, you have such a similar discussion when it comes to Tkiah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. Does the Makri call out the first Tkiah? Right, because the only reason the Makri is calling out the Tkiah is that the Baal Tkiah doesn't get confused. If he doesn't know what the first blast is, right, then he probably shouldn't be the Baal Tkiah. Right, he's got to know. You start with the Tkiah. You always start with the Tkiah. So why be mafsik between the bracha by being Makri? It's an unnecessary hefsik. So that's the Ram Shita by Birkas Kohanim. So that fits very nicely in the Gemara. The Torah holds that no, that even that first word, you know, the Shliach Tzibur should be Makri. So when the Gemara says Bracha Acheres, probably means the Ribono Olamim Asisa Masha Gzarta Aleinu, and that the Kohanim are not allowed to start that Tefillah until the Tzibur says Amen. The Tefillah that we identified before. V'yomer Rabbi Zeir Amar Chisei, Enu Kohanim Roshon Lahachzi Pneim in Tzibur Ad Sheyasku Shliach Tzibur B'Sim Shalom. The Kohanim are not allowed to turn away from the Tzibur until the Shliach Tzibur starts Sim Shalom. V'Enu Roshon Lakar and they're not allowed to go back to their seats off of the duchen until the shliach tzibur finishes sim shalom. Another statement, that in general, when it comes to kriyas haTorah, the tzibur shouldn't answer amen until the Ola finishes the bracha. Vena Kore Rashi Likros Petora Achi Yichlamein Piat Tzibur, and then the Bal Kore should wait till the Tzibur says Amen before he starts the Kriyas HaTorah. Vena Metargim Rashi Lahaskel Betargim Achi Yichl Pasuk Mipiat Kore, and the Metargim should not be Metargim in the Pasuk until the Kore finishes reading the Pasuk. Vena Kore Rashi Lahaskel Pasuk Acher Achi Yichl Targim Viyam Metargim, and then the Bal Kore should not read the next Pasuk until the Metargim finishes the previous Pasuk. Amar Betargim Amar Bishop Ben Levi. If a person is going to do the Haftarah, he's going to read the Haftarah, he has to get an Aliyah first. He has to be Kori from the Torah first before he's Maftir B'Navi because of Kavod HaTorah. He has to make it very recognizable that the Torah is more Chashuv than the Navi, and therefore he Dafka wants to read from the Torah. You're not allowed to start the Haftarah until Galila is finished, until the Sefer Torah is put away, because we don't want the people who are busy with the Galila to not hear the Haftarah. The guy who got Hagba and the guy who's getting Galila are not going to be able to hear the Haftarah if you start the Haftarah prematurely. That's how Rashi writes. Sounds like you have to wait until until they complete the Galila of the Sefer Torah, and that's what the Mordechai says as well. The Me'iri is a little different. He says the reason you need to wait is so that the Sefer Torah shouldn't be without a Galila. The Sefer Torah shouldn't be left out there. You shouldn't forget to do the Galila because you're too busy with the Haftarah, which would mean that once you've started, you're not going to stop in the middle. Once you start, they'll finish. They'll just miss a little bit of the Haftarah. That maybe would be okay according to the Me'iri. But anyway, we don't pass it that way. We pass it like Rashi, that you have to wait till the Galila is finished. Only when the Galila is finished do you start the brachas on the Haftarah and the Haftarah that follows. That they used to have in the Aron, they used to not be able to keep the Sifrei Torah in the Aron because the shul was not well protected. They didn't have a security system, they didn't have cameras, they didn't have a lock on the Aron and a fireproof, whatever, right? So they used to have to take the Sefer Torah out after every tefillah. So what they would do is they'd bring the Sefer Torah and then they would hang all sorts of curtains around the Aron to make it look nice. To be mafshit asateva means to take those nice begadim that they would put around the Aron. You shouldn't do that while the tzibur is still in shul and they haven't taken the Sefer Torah out, because it's matriach the tzibur to wait until you fold up all the different things, all the different curtains, while everyone else has to wait there until the Sefer Torah leaves. Because the tzibur can't leave until the Sefer Torah leaves. Shmuel amar ad sheyetze. Not ad sheyinatel Sefer Torah, not just till they take the Sefer Torah from the Aron, but until the Sefer Torah actually leaves the Beis HaKnesses. V'lo pligin, they're not actually arguing. Hadika pischachrina, hadalaka pischachrina. It depends if there's another door to exit, meaning meaning if the Sefer Torah is going to go out that door, so as soon as the Sefer Torah is taken out of the Aron, you could go out the other door. But if there's only one door to leave the shul, and someone's got to go out first, Sefer Torah goes out first. It goes out before any of the people. Amar Rav Barihina Azbruli Achrei Hashem Elokechem Telechu. That Amar Rav Barahina Azbruli, Rav says, a chacham by the name of Barahina explained to me the reason you're not allowed to go out before the Sefer Torah is because of Achrei Hashem Elokechem Telechu. What do the Kohanim say? Some Rav Zerah Rav Chissa, Baruch Hashem Malachi Gibari Koach, Baruch Hashem Kol Tzva Mishor Sovel Sevitzonu, Baruch Hashem Kol Ma'asav B'chol Mekom Mishmim Shalto, Baruch Nafshi Es Hashem. Those psukim are connected to three psukim of Birchas Kohanim. V'musafit Shabbat Ma'ein Omrim, what do they say on Musaf of Shabbos? Am Ravasi Shira Malasine Baruch Hashem Kol Avdei Hashem, Su Yidechem Kodesh Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem Etzion Shekun Yishlaim Haluka, V'lei Manami Baruch Hashem Etzion, Duchsiv Ba'u Inyana, why not all say Baruch Hashem Etzion? Am Rida Bereiv Shem Ben Pasi, Mitok Shehizch, B'brachos of Shekodesh Baruch Hu, Messayim, B'brachos of Shekodesh Baruch Hu. We don't want to be Messayim with Baruch Hashem Etzion, which is Bracha that HaKodesh Baruch Hu gives to Klal Yisrael. We're only going to say the Brachos of HaKodesh Baruch Hu himself. Okay, B'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Bim Mincha Titanisa in what was said at Mincha Vatayim. Okay, have a great day, everybody.